rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Hi, Lizzie. How are you this morning?
I'm good. We talked about having an episode where we each kind of plan and execute the episode with the other person asking questions and joining in so that the other person kind of has the day off. We thought that might be nice. So we're starting out with that today, and I have a couple things. The first thing that I wanted to talk about was, we mentioned on the last podcast this t-shirt that had Defend Rojava on it, and we were at the Punk Rock Bowling Festival, and we were rocking out to the Interrupters, and this big guy in front of us was joining in and knew all the lyrics, and his t-shirt just had this wonderful thing. I took a photo of it. I put it at the end of the last episode on YouTube, the picture, the t-shirt itself. But we looked at what the words said that I had in my mind was so punk, and this is what it said. Defend Rojava. As punks, we stand firmly against war, nationalism, and religious fanaticism, against subjugation of women, against weapon companies, and in mutual aid and support of the direct democratic project of Rojava. So have you looked up Rojava since we talked?
No.
So this won't be going into all of the details of that, because it's, you know, with any war or political situation, it's complex with a lot of nuances. But at first glance, well, the t-shirt sure says a lot. And at first glance, you know, the fact that it's democracy, when you go to the website, you see some soldiers who are all women. And, you know, when we're thinking about moving towards a world where we have peace, you know, we hope that we don't need to see that eventually. But in these countries where people are just kind of fighting for their lives and basic human rights, you know, it's gonna be a bit before the, you know, the uniforms and the guns go away. There were a couple of different things we'll put in the show notes, but just as far as the definition, Rojava, the Kurdish region of Syria, is one of two Kurdish front lines in the war with ISIS. Quite a few of the things were from around 2019 and kind of 2020-ish. So I was looking for something more recent, and there was an article at TuftsDaily.com by Ben Shukroon. The most important revolution of the 21st century did not occur in Tahrir Square, where Egyptian youth, some of whom call themselves Black Bloc, battled police forces. Nor did it occur in Ukraine in 2014, where government troops violently clashed outside of Central Square. I'm just butchering all those names. I'm embarrassed about that, but that's what it is. Haven't had a podcast before. Don't say these words out loud. I apologize, everyone.
No, you're doing great.
Rather, the most important revolution of the 21st century is occurring in an oft-forgotten slice of northern Syria. And I have had a podcast before, so I have no excuse. They're beset by a half dozen outside forces, a ragtag coalition of Kurdish groups, eco-socialists, and anarcho-feminists, are managing to create a beautiful society based on cooperation, self-determination, and acceptance. Their egalitarian principles of environmentalism, communism, and gender equality provide a crucial model for a better world. Communism, I would think, relates to living in community, not the political communism, since it's a democratic political party, but I could be mistaken on that, known as the Rojava Revolution, Rojava meaning Western Kurdistan in Kurmanji. The uprising can trace its ideological origins to the writings of Abdullah Öcalan, compared to many, to Nelson Mandela. So, so go Rojava, it seems, but we can each study it, you and I, and other people can look into it. But the main reason we're bringing it up is, the fact that the punk bowling festival, that this t-shirt said, "As punks, we stand against these things." And I think it really talks about what punk is.
Exactly. It's my understanding that the groups up in that area are getting hit from all sides, and they've banded together to create their own country in that area. And they do. The women are quite a fighting force, apparently, in that area. I do know that. But they also were hit with that bad earthquake, remember, like a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago. So they're facing that as well. So I'd like to learn more about it. I'd sort of forgotten about it. I remember the gentleman clearly and the t-shirt, and I'm glad you took a picture of it. And so I'm looking forward to learning more about it. And thanks for bringing it up.
You're welcome. We usually check in first. One of the other reasons I thought I'd give your voice a break, Legs had some dental work yesterday, and your voice sounds better this morning, though.
Thank
Does
you.
It feel better?
It feels better.
Good.
As I say, ice hockey, the gift that keeps on giving. So yes, it feels better. It's just a lot of dust in the air. And so, I feel great today. Happy to be alive.
Great. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was a project idea. I wanted to talk about a project with Legs, and I thought we'd just do it on the podcast. And since I'm kind of stumbling already, it might be touch and go.
No, you're doing great. You're doing great.
And
listeners, this is unrehearsed, so I'm hearing it for the first time, and I'm looking forward to it. I like it this way, you know.
Go. Well, I was thinking, we've found that we enjoy talking with each other and about whatever the topics are that we choose, but because we've decided to record 5 days a week, part of what we do in between is like, what's the plan for what we're going to talk about? So we've talked about that it would be nice to kind of set a schedule, have a little bit more of a framework. We have the Punk Farm Love Life framework, but maybe something else that kind of, for a period of time, sets the course.
Okay.
So yesterday in my meditation, I thought about, when I first thought about it, I wrote down punk versus plastic. Legs had this wonderful idea of having a section of the show that was truth or fiction. And you've seen that before, where I think in radio they do it sometimes, and different, where you take some sentence or some idea or whatever the information is, and the other person tries to determine whether it's fact or fiction.
Right.
So I had thrown out, well, what if we call it punk or plastic? Punk being the truth and plastic being the false. And
it's a boogeyman.
And a book that would be how to create the slow life and heal the planet. And that we would be on this journey, because we are, of this. And the 10 areas that I came up with were get a bike, eat real foods, hang with people, make and give things, listen to music and poetry, make art. These are all up for discussion, of course. Care for someone or something. early bird, and I said flies instead of gets the worm, early bird flies, be an elder, and punk. And from there, I thought, well, and it all kind of, you know, evolves. I had a busy day helping my mom with, she had a foot surgery yesterday, and I helped my sister with her, and it was a little bit exciting because we had to go back to the surgeon because I won't get into the gruesome details. But anyway, we had to go back.
You have a real life. It's a real life.
Yeah. And Lakes had a long day, too, with his dentist appointment, and I had that. And so this morning, I was thinking, what if we could work on these, we set these as topics that we'll take through in the podcast, but in creating this book that we would, with the interviews that we would do on the different subject matter, it's like this community book, and that any proceeds that we might make when the book is published could go towards this billboard that we've talked about, which we haven't talked about on the podcast. But do you remember what I, do you want to mention the billboard? Do you remember what I talked about? And I'll let you know.
You had talked about having, is it affirmation, an affirmational billboard? Is that, I'm trying to remember, there was a billboard that we would have up. But I don't remember the exact, I knew it was something positive, but I don't want to mess up on the details.
No, so, that's okay.
So it was
an idea I've had for a couple of years now, that wouldn't it be great if there was a fund where the billboard funded these things like, you know, the phrase that we say, you know, do stuff and make stuff, don't buy stuff. I have a book series which I was thinking maybe you can interview me sometime about my books, but
love
it's Pedro the Water Dog Saves the Planet. And book one is about overconsumption. It's called One More Year. And the basic concept is don't go out and buy that thing. Just keep it one more year. And then maybe you'll keep it a little longer. And just trying to reduce our consumption.
Right.
And so with this book about slowing down, which is really about that, like, if this planet is going to survive, it's because we realize that we don't need to keep manufacturing all this stuff, and we need each other, we need community, making things is rewarding, and of course we will need to buy things, but maybe these things are made better over time because we need them to last, just like they used to be back in the 30s, right. 40s, 50s, when things
you
were manufactured.
Yeah.
Yep, and you fix things instead of just buying the new thing. So let's say we take bicycles, which we were talking about, and we continue to talk to people who are putting bikes together, small shops, people who are fixing bikes, and we accumulate these stories. Maybe people write in with their written stories on things. Some things can be transcribed, but with the goal of having one, maybe eventually it could be more, the billboard in a big city that is funded by this movement of a slow life. So remember when I said how when you talked about these big things, I would be like, whoa.
Yeah.
So
I'm not feeling
I'm
that.
Going
I'm not
for
scared.
It.
Yeah. There you go. That's what I like. Yeah. I think we should go for it. You know, truth is, you have lived this life. You're living the life. As long as I've known you, you practice what you preach. So this is not some new idea that you've had and you just decided to do it. You've been doing it. And I really have always admired that about you, that you follow your heart. And these are wonderful things. I would not change anything you had on there. There's no improvement needed. It's everything that needs to...
Well, I have to say, I don't have it all down. I think aspects of it, but one thing we've talked about is this community aspect, and they say studies have shown that people who are in community, that are around people, that have a group of people that they see, they're not isolated, live longer.
Right.
And so this hang with people, we've talked about, you know, making an effort to do that. Legs and I are in recovery, so we have this recovery community, and that's very strong. But our local community and being in the town, we haven't done that.
No.
And I think that this project could allow us to do it, and then might help others think about how they can do it.
I would love that. You know, it doesn't deter me to go and knock on our neighbor's door and just introduce myself and say hello. And that, just say, hey, I live next door. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Just know that I exist, and that I try to say hi to everybody walking by, but I like that idea of getting to know your neighbors and your community. And this was an idea for a future show, so I'll tell you now, there's a World Happiness Report 2024 that just came out, and it detailed where all of the countries stand in happiness index based on ages and so forth. And one of the things is community. And we'll get, it'll be one of, hope it's one of the things I'd like to discuss in a future episode. But it's interesting that the Scandinavian, the Nordic countries are leading the way. And one of the big reasons is they have these small communities, and they interact with each other. And the happiness index is much higher in these countries. You know, the U.S. isn't in bad shape, it just could do better. So there's work to be done. And I like your idea about, you know, creating a world, our own little world. You have to start in your own backyard and create a movement. That's punk. Create a movement. So I think it's a really good idea.
Thank you. And at a minimum, I think we can, you know, plan, you know, the podcast around certain things and get it set up where people can submit something they've written. We'll have interviews and this combination of things. And I did want to say, you know, I love the Ritual podcast, and he's working on a book. And I always think it's so interesting that in our society, the way that we create things, and because it's so money driven and you know, first to market driven and all of that, that there's a secrecy, as though this idea that you have, one, that you could possibly keep it within you because of the universal mind, it's out there already. So that in itself is ridiculous.
Exactly.
And then two, when you're so protective of it, it's also the belief that's incorrect that you wouldn't be delivering it in a way that's unique, more unique than someone else. And then the most important part, I think, is if what you're doing is so valuable, if it's not so valuable, then you should pick something else.
Good point.
And if it is so valuable, like this, for example, and someone else says, like, we're in our third act, and we're just talking on a podcast, and this book and this billboard may never happen, but what if it happened from someone else taking it on?
There you go.
So I think the vision is there, and I understand why Rich was very close to his vest. He was talking to Adam Skolnick about, you know, I don't want to reveal too much. He didn't really reveal anything. And I just think, you know, what could be so secretive? And if it is something that could be so easily picked up and copied by someone else, it's like, that seems like you either don't have the right thing, or you are not seeing that what you're bringing to it is what's going to create the beauty. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, so, people are so
entrenched.
People are so entrenched in keeping theirs, and instead of what the bigger picture is.
Mm-hmm.
And what is Ritual going to do? Is like, is going to have this unveiling on the radio? How's anybody going to know? They're going to pull the sheet off it and go, here it is, and everybody's going to, well, they can't see it. So it would just be open source. Remember when, you know, back applications. People were, oh, this is really great. It's open source. We can make this work, you know, for all of us, for the greater good. That's how the internet got started. There would be no internet if people didn't share their ideas and get it going and allow people to contribute. That's how it got started. So I like your idea.
Yeah, maybe there's a way we can set up a special, you know, people contributing. One of the very earliest blogs that was one of the most popular blogs that came out was, and if anyone has the name of it or can point us back to where it is, and we can post it eventually, but I don't know if you remember it. It was these postcards that people sent into the blog,
yeah,
and wrote something about it. And these postcards actually, I think, got mailed to people.
Really?
And so it was very community built, very artistic and creative. And I don't know what this could be. I did bring up my ideas for the name. Are you ready for it?
Yep, go for it.
So I thought of, I could do anything. The first part that I came up with was something along the lines of, I could do anything, but I choose to be slow, or something like that. And then as I kind of worked it through the different subject matter, I came up with, I could do anything, but I choose we. I could be anything, but I choose we. I could love anyone, but I choose we. I could eat anything, but I choose we. That to me relates to not eating meat. I could make anything, but I choose we. I could wear anything, but I choose we. And that to me relates to like fast fashion and you know, just let's buy things we need that last. And I could go anywhere, but I choose we, the eco travel and that kind of thing. So what do you think about that? Thank you.
You should have been in advertising. That's what I keep saying. You should have been in advertising.
No, so I choose we. Hashtag I choose we. So.
Yep. She really does. She really does. So, I'm actually gobsmacked here for a second.
Sometimes you just need the framework, and then we'll just put this stuff in. We'll put the beautiful stuff inside. So, I was thinking maybe it'll be super annoying that we're working this out on the podcast, but it could be fun. And we do planning and we do brainstorming, and we'll continue to do that, the two of us, because that's just what you do. But
that's who we are.
It'd be nice. Maybe we can do some of it on the podcast. And
yeah. And if we reach one listener that has an idea and can take it, you know, you want to create a billboard on your own because Lizzie thought of it, go for it. We want you to go out and, you know, wherever you are listening to us, if you got that idea, go for it. That's how we feel. I think it's beautiful. I really do.
We'll post the billboard company. It's like everyone probably knows that one of the biggest ones is called Outdoors something, Outdoor whatever. But they have an electronic, you know, thing where you can see all the locations and buy it. I'm sure there's philanthropy. It's a major way that public opinion has been changed with different campaigns on smoking and litter.
Exactly.
So why couldn't we change our public opinion on consumerism and buying things? Seems possible.
Yeah, and we'll be open about where it's coming from. You know how sometimes it's like a really small print, who's funding the
bill.
We're going to be like outwardly, this is from us, and if you give us your opinion. And if you have ideas for us, give us your opinion. We want your opinion. We're open to ideas.
We'll probably do these in segments and have a focus initially. So I would say bicycles, definitely. If you have a small bike company, you make bikes in your garage, you know of a great bike shop or anything about bicycles, how bicycles have changed how you live, your quality of life. So we'd love to know about it and maybe even have you on the podcast. So.
I'm really excited about that one. It's Especially if you have cargo bikes, that would be something really cool in the U.S. They got them in Europe, but it would be really cool to see people in the U.S. who are making cargo bikes. So,
well, I was thinking about you when you said you would even ride a cargo bike. That they're very cool, and
our dream. Have two cargo bikes, one for Teo in the front with his goggles on going along, and one for our groceries and everything else where we don't have to use our car. And we know everybody, and we say hi riding through the town and go get our coffee and go grocery shopping and enjoy life. Go to the dentist, not drive hours to go to the dentist. Ride my bike. Yeah. And if I'm unstable, I've already told Lizzie, I will ride a three-wheel bicycle. You heard it now. I will ride a three-wheel bicycle if that's the safest thing. But don't hold me to it initially. But as I get older, yeah, I'll do it.
Sounds great. Well, does that do it for today?
I think it does. Okay. I think it was a beautiful on-the-fly thought. And yeah, I'm gobsmacked. I didn't know, as you know, this is the first time I heard it. And yeah, that's how I'm going to leave it.
Legs is of Irish descent and grew up in a family. His mother was from Ireland, and your words are wonderful. Ever since I met you, you know, one of the first things you said is, you know, you just want to live a proper life, and just be through and gobsmacked, and I love it.
Yeah, thank you you've been really sweet. You've never given me a hard time or corrected my words. You know, it's been really hard to sometimes not get teased growing up that I had So now,
my daughter's building a camper on her truck made of aluminum. And how do you say that again?
Aluminium. Sorry.
Aluminium.
So it's just, oh, yeah. So I have to, sometimes, I don't know if it's a left brain, right brain thing, but it's still, but I just now can just let it fly. And I don't swear like Irish people do generally, so I try not to do that.
Oh, you said you did before you met me.
Yes, I did, and since I met you, I have been able to control it as best possible. So yeah, thank you, because I still swear sometimes to myself.
Well, we're rambling, and it's my
yes, fault. We are. No,
okay.
It's not.
So signing off.
So
next time, Punk Farm.
Love life.
Do stuff. Don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk plants. Bye, everyone.
Ride this pony down life's lane, searching for the wild boy.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff, make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk. Plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
There's a coyote bawling in the pouring rain. Sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain, he knows it'll never be the same. Old black dog just tags along and listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. So on and on they go. Oh, strangers cry. Bound to drift along. Jimson weed and tumbleweeds. But local weed is the kind he needs to freeze brain. The beast thinks he's insane. Join the party, join the crowd. Let the hyenas circling laugh out loud. There ain't no way. Lord knows he had his day. Oh, strangers cry. Strangers cry.